Well, it's time to get into the Beach Body Message Part 2. How many of you want to have a little bit of fun before we do it? Get into the whole beach attitude and atmosphere. Take it away, guys.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California. You'd see him wearing the baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, surfing USA. You catch him surfing at
Dale,
Ventura County line, Santa Cruz and Trestles, Australia's Narrow Beach, all over Manhattan, and down Doheny Way. Surfing USA. We'll all be planning out a route, gonna take real soon. We're waxing down our surfboards, we can't wait for June. We'll all be gone for the summer, we're on safari to stay. Tell the teachers we're surfing USA. Hebrides and Swans, Pacific Palisades, Santa Cofre and Sunset, Redondo Beach, LA, all over La Jolla, at Waimea Bay, surfing USA. Surfing USA.
Everybody's gone surfing.
Surfing USA.
Everybody's gone surfing.
Surfing USA.
Yeah. I was thinking, what would be the best song to get everybody in the beach mentality for our Beach Body series? As you know, every summer when you go to the grocery stores and the supermarkets, the magazine aisles are lined up with who has the best beach body, 6 steps to 12-pack abs, and on down, because we are a culture that is all about fitness, health, and beauty. And as I began to think about the body of Christ, our local church, Coastline, I began to think, how can we get Coastline a beach body? How can we get Coastline ripped? How can we get Coastline fit and ready for the summer? If having a beach body is all about health, if it's all about looking good, how can we get our local church healthy? How can we get it looking good? How can we get Coastline ripped? And so this morning, we're going to be talking about it. Last week, we began a 2-week message called Big Church, Small Church. This week, we're going to be doing part 2 on Small Church. In one sense, it may sound like a long announcement, but there's a lot of people that need to understand the truth of this message if we're going to become a healthy church. So for those of you that already get it, you already understand it, just be praying for people around you that they'll really get the truth of this morning on what it means to be big church, small church, what God says about big church, small church, and how God wants us to both be a big church and a small church. There's two things we know after the birth of the church in the New Testament that every church should have. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, Paul says it like this: I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. You know, after the original church was born in the book of Acts, we have been arguing ever since on what the church should look like, how the church should be, what the church should have. But there are two things from the Bible that we understand every single church needs to have. Paul said, I never stop preaching, either publicly or in your homes, which means every church should be big and every church should be small. Our public big experience is on Sunday morning as we worship God corporately, and then our small church in your home experience is the life groups here at Coastline Church. And every church needs to be big and small. So if you look at your notes in the bulletin from last week, we went through the first half of them last week, a quick recap. We believe our church must grow larger and smaller at the same time. See, one of our goals at Coastline is no matter how large we grow as a church, our goal is to never stop being a small church. We'll always be a small church. No matter how large we grow, no matter how many people show up on Sunday, our goal is we will always remain a small church. It's critical. We talked last week about the things people didn't like about big church. People say, well, we need quality, not quantity. Well, those things aren't mutually exclusive. You can have both. You can have quality and quantity. You don't have to sacrifice one for the other. We said last week people don't like big church because they say God isn't interested in numbers. Well, he wrote a book called Numbers. God is extremely interested in numbers. He told the parable of the shepherd who lost a sheep. Well, how did he know he lost a sheep? Because he counted and he found out he only had 99. And so he went looking for the lost sheep. Why? Because every single number matters. Every single number is a life. Every single number is a soul. Every single number is somebody that Jesus Christ died for. God is interested in numbers. And going on, Coastline is all about the numbers. We are all about the numbers of marriages we can restore. We are all about the numbers of dads that can get off of drugs so they can be good fathers. We are all about the numbers of teenagers who can live right and get out of their issues. We are all about the numbers who can be born again. We're all about the numbers. People say, well, big churches are impersonal. That's true, but guess what? Small churches are just as impersonal. Have you ever been to a small church that turned into a little clique? It's almost impossible to penetrate. So the reality is impersonal has nothing to do with big church or small church. It's simply the spirit of the church. Why big church? That was the question we posed last week. Number one, God wants everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. Timothy, in the book of Timothy, it says, it is the Lord's will that none should perish. God wants everyone to be saved. Number two, everything healthy grows. Healthy things grow. See, our goal is not finding the next gimmick or the next method to build our church, but it's learning how to build a healthy church. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. But if you build a healthy church, healthy things grow. And then the last point we said last week is there is strength in numbers. The three-chord strand is not easily broken. When we band together, we have power as a church. We can be a blessing. We can be a generous. We can give to missions. We can give locally. We can give to our nation and make a difference because there's strength in numbers. But what I want to get into today is small church. How as we grow larger as a church, how can we also grow smaller as a church? Because as we grow larger, we are mandated to grow smaller. We have to be a small church. You see, big churches can be effective, but it's not simply about being big because God also wants us to be a small church. See, if you heard our purpose is simple, to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus that they might become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, the first part of that is our big church, reach people. That's big church. That happens on Sunday morning through the public gathering of people. But how can we help people become fully devoted followers of Christ? That happens in small church. That happens in life groups. See, when you get connected to a life group, let me understand, coming out on Sunday morning simply is not enough. Sunday morning is a great spiritual shot in the arm. You get motivated, you get inspired, you learn a few things. But how many of you understand you don't get real discipleship on Sunday morning? You don't get real transformation on Sunday morning because there's no accountability. It's when you get into a small church, when you plug into a life group, that you have accountability in your life and you learn what it means to grow because you've got people there challenging you. See, when I get up and say, greet those sitting around you, no one's sitting there saying, hey, man, this week, you know, I'm struggling with my wife and no one's doing that. When we come Sundays, 9 times out of 10, we put the mask on, we're perfect Christians, got everything together, and how you doing, had a great week. I mean, you're like dying at home, and how you doing, had a great week. That's why life groups are absolutely critical, because when you get into a life group, when you find your small church within the big church, you have a group of people that'll love you, that'll hold you accountable, that'll challenge you, that'll help you grow, that'll practically walk you through the areas of life you're walking through. And this is the perfect timing to do this. As we're getting fit, as our church is getting fit and getting ripped, and as Coastline is building its six-pack for the year, next month, we are launching our brand new semester, the fall semester of Coastline Life Groups, to help people get connected and find their small church. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. This is why it's so critically important to find a life group. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How many know it's hard to live in the light when you're in a public setting? See, it's easy to hide our issues from people on Sunday morning. It's easy to put a mask on so you can't see what I'm really going through. You can't see what I'm really dealing with if all you see me is in a public setting on Sunday morning. It's easy to hide. But when you get into a small group, when you get into a life group, when you find that small church within the big church, how many know that brings the light on yourself really quick? Because in that small church, in your life group, people see and begin to discover the real you. And they can love you, they can challenge you, they can help you. And that's why it says, then we have fellowship with each other. We have fellowship. That's the key to the Christian life, is fellowship with each other. God created us as believers. God created us as Christians to have relationships with one another. And you don't have relationship necessarily in a big church. You have relationship in a small church, and you need both. See, if you've ever had a small church without a big church, if you've ever been to a home church, they get weird really fast. So the big church provides accountability for the small church. But have you ever been to a big church without a small church? It gets unhealthy really fast because there's no relationships. There's no fellowship. So big church gives small church accountability, and small church gives big church health. And that's the partnership of the two. That's why at Coastline, as God blesses our church and as we grow larger, we can never stop growing smaller. The larger we get, the smaller we have to get. We have to force ourselves to continue to get smaller as a church. And the key to doing that is life groups, helping you find a small church, helping you find a family that you can connect to within the context of Coastline. But let's talk about some of the reasons people don't like small church, because not everyone likes small church. Not everyone likes that small church. And here's some of the things I hear said. If you're following along in your notes, it's a waste of time. I hear that a lot. It's a waste of time. I went on Sunday. Isn't that enough? I don't need another thing to do during the week. Listen, we are all busy. This is America. This is North County. We are busy people. We have a million events, activities, children, family, function, work, everything going on. But we can't afford not to have relationships in the body of Christ. You can't afford not to have relationships in the body of Christ. So we hear it's a waste of time. Another thing I hear, it's not what I want or need. It's not what I want or need. And the reason a lot of people feel like that is because it's I don't want to be, those are the wrong people for me to, those people are weird. How many of you have ever been to the weird small group? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. That's why you're laughing. So you go to some churches, and because you live in this zip code, you've got to go with these people, even though you can't stand them, and you've got to connect to them the rest of your life, and it's unbearable, and it's miserable. Well, in a moment, you're going to find out that's not our system of life groups. We're not going to make you stay with people you don't like or don't connect to. We have a test drive system. You can test drive any life group you want until you find the life group that's right for you. If the first life group doesn't work, test drive another one. That's the beauty, is there's variety, there's options. It's not what I want or need. How many ever went, growing up in youth ministry, I don't know how many of you grew up in church like I did. I grew up in church until I finally rebelled and ran away from church for many years. But growing up in church, how many ever had the youth pastor that it was time for small group time and everyone was weird, and then he would say something like, now everyone sit with your friends, and you were like, yes, this is awesome. And you're sitting with your friends, and then they come around, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And then all of a sudden, you're sitting with a bunch of people you don't know, because all the ones got to go over here, all the twos, and you lose all of your friends, and you're like, I hate this. Why can't I just like being a part of church? And that's the question I have today. Why can't we just like church? Why does church have to be so hard? Why does church have to be such a heavy burden on our life? Why can't we just enjoy being part of church? See, Jesus said, my burden is light and easy. Carry my yoke. See, the burden of religion, the burden of a religious church system is heavy. It's annoying. It's uncomfortable. See, the gospel is offensive, but the gospel should be the only thing offensive about the church. The rest of the church should be loving, should be simple, should be easy to connect to and flourish and grow. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So let's create a church system that is not unbearable, but a church system that gives people life and life more abundantly. What's another thing people say? It's awkward. It's awkward. You got to sit in a dark room with a whole bunch of people you don't know, hold hands with candles burning, and share the deepest, darkest secrets in your life. That's some of the impression some people have when they hear of small group. That's not the life groups we're going to build. You know, you got Sister Prayer Gossip who wants to know what's really going on in your life so she can put it on the prayer chain. Please pray for Sister So-and-so who's got a drinking problem. No, we don't do prayer gossip at our church. So let's ask the question, why small church? Why does God believe in small church? Why is small church critical? And why will you benefit being a part of small church? Number one, it's a place where we can really make a difference. It's a place where you can really make a difference. See, in your small church, in your life group, you have the ability to really make a difference in somebody else's life. See, when you sit in a crowd of people, it's hard to really make a difference for somebody else in a crowd. But when you get into your small church, when you get into your life group, when you get into that family of people that you are doing life with, you can make a difference in their life. When somebody has a need, when somebody has a struggle, when they're dealing with something, you can rally behind them. You can support them. You can see, the honest truth is most of you aren't going to remember what I said today by Wednesday. And that hurts. But the truth is, I'm not going to remember half of what I said by Wednesday. That's why we need our small church, because it helps us walk out our faith. It helps us build our faith. It helps us apply the things that we're learning. And one of the beauties of our system is we're building a free market life group system. What does free market mean? Here's some key points of a free market system. Free market leaders use their gifts with their passions. We have life group leaders who are going to use their gifts with their passions. What are they passionate about? What are they gifted about? What are their hobbies? What are their interests? You see, the old style of church is when you become a Christian, we want you to give up your friends, we want you to give up your hobbies, we want you to give up everything you enjoy and everything you love to do, and we want you to come serve our system. Now, we don't actually say it like that. We say, we want you to be here Monday morning, be here Tuesday night, be here Wednesday night. This we got Friday morning. On Saturday, we have this. Sunday morning, we got this. And Sunday night, this. So we leave you with no time to love your wife, no time to love your children, no time to be faithful to your career, because you've got to serve our unbearable, heavy, burdensome system. But what we want to do is build a simple church in a complex world. We want you to come and experience a life-giving Sunday service, and then we want you to plug into a life group that you love, a life group that you would be doing every week, even if it wasn't a life group. That's why we got a guy I met with this week, one of our dear people. I don't know if he's here. Chris, are you here this morning? Chris is starting our Monday Night Football life group because he's got a passion about Monday Night Football. And a passion to love on young men and help them grow into what they need to be. And guess what? Some of the most powerful discipleship will take place during the Monday night football game because you'll got two guys sitting on the couch during third quarter opening up about their marriage, and all of a sudden they're praying with one another, counseling one another, loving on one another. So we have a free market system where you can build a life group around anything you're passionate about. If you're passionate about teaching the book of John, build a life group on the book of John. We have one of our elders developing a life group called Foundations for people that are new in their faith to learn the foundations of being a Christian. We'll have life groups built around board games, life groups built around baking, life groups built around the gifts of the Spirit. Anything you want to build a life group around, a common interest to gather people together that you're passionate about. So every semester, there's going to be a course catalog, so you can go through the course catalog and ask yourself, what do I need for this season of my life? Do I just need camaraderie? Do I need relationship? Do I need teaching? Do I need instruction? Do I just need to get in a running life group so I can get healthy? What do I need this season of my life? Because guess what? We live in a life of seasons. Putting you in the same life group for the next 10 years isn't going to help you grow. Because you're going to go through seasons of life and you need life groups that go with the seasons of your life. So we build them on semesters. We'll have a fall semester, a spring semester, and a summer semester. So life groups are 12 weeks long. And in the summer, it's only 8 weeks long. So it's not like you got to commit the next year of your life. It's a 12-week life group. And then at the end of the semester, we take a couple-month break, and then we do another semester, and then we take a month break and do another semester. So it's built around the schedule of your life. It's built around being a simple church to help you connect, to help you grow, to help you flourish in what God wants to do in your life. It's beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 gives us the basis for a free market system. Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22, Paul says, "Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some." Paul would do a Monday night football life group if it would help get people saved, because Paul said, "I try to find common ground with everyone, doing whatever I can to try to save some." That's why we have free market systems, so that people can use their passions to win people to Christ. There's going to be people who get saved through the Monday night football life group. We have Amy in our church is starting a mom's life group. They've been going strong and they're revamping it. It's about to roll out. So for young moms with kids, they have a life group built around meeting the needs of young moms with kids. We have life groups. Tim is leading our worship life group. It's not going to be rehearsal anymore. It's going to be a life group. They get together on Saturday and they're going to rehearse, but it's going to be a life group for people that want to be a part of the worship and the media of our church. Number two, life groups are a place where you can grow. Life groups are a place where you can grow, where you can be challenged to grow and really have people that care for you, that help you, that walk you through areas of life, not at all like this. Watch this with me.
Are you tired of small groups always getting into your business, trying to get you to share your feelings, discuss your past, confess your sins? Are you just looking for a place to kick it, network, maybe get some free grub? Me too. That's why I created what I believe to be the world's first openly shallow small group. We're not here to deal with messy stuff like feelings and emotions. You got problems? You deal with that. You're an adult. Life ain't easy. So stop the pity party. We all have our issues. We don't really want to do life together. Frankly, at Shallow Small Group, we try not to do much of anything at all. You'll never hear us use the term unpack that thought. We're sure it's packed away for a really good reason. And you'll never hear us use the term accountability unless you're talking about someone who deals with numbers. Hey, dude, thanks for doing my taxes. You have great accountability. And spiritual growth. Who wants growth? I had a growth removed last week. It wasn't pleasant. There's no pressure here to remember each other's name.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, hey, man. How's it going?
That's good.
Hey, Chief. Oh, dude.
Captain, what's going on?
We know you have a name, and that's the important thing. Group discussion? You got tickets to the big game? Sweet. Let's spend some time on that. Oh, you and your wife are struggling financially? There's tension in the relationship? That's not really the vibe we're going for. We avoid conflict like the plague.
Who wants cake?
Come on and get it!
And there will never, ever be an awkward silence. That's our guarantee to you. We hate bad theology as much as the next guy, and we know the surest way to prevent bad theology is to avoid theology altogether. And outreach? This is the only outreach you'll ever have to do. Some people say we're superficial. But hey, the word super's in superficial. I mean, who doesn't want to be super? Shallow small group. Because when things get too deep, people drown. Won't you join us?
That is not the model of life groups here. See, I love that video. We want life groups where people can grow. That's why we do the semester season. That's why you can choose a life group that fits the season of life you're in. Why? So that you can grow. You see, life groups are designed to do three things. They're a place for you to connect, where you can have relationship, where you can have fellowship, as the Bible says, so that you can be in the light and be free from sin out of relationship. It's a place to protect. Life groups will help protect you. When you're sick, your life group rallies behind you. They visit you in the hospital. They take care of your needs. When you're struggling, when you get promoted, they cheer you on and congratulate you. It's a place to protect people, and it's a place to grow. As how many know, we all need growth. We all need to develop ourselves spiritually and get to the next level and see where God wants to take us and be able to flourish in our purpose and our calling. And because the reality is, we all have four areas of our life. There's four areas of our life that we all have or personalities, areas of our life. We all have the public area of our life. That's the area that you see and everyone around you sees. Now, the public area, you can grow that in a public setting, but the other three areas of your life, you can only really experience growth in a small setting. You've got the public area. You got the private area. The private area is the area that only you see and those closest to you see. And the only way to really grow the private area in your life and really see real spiritual growth is to be in that small church. Then there's the unperceived area of life. That's your blind spots. You know, if everyone says you're like something, you're like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. It's just an area that you miss, and you're really not going to grow in that area and be challenged to grow in that area unless you're in a life group, unless you're in a small church environment. Then there's the most important area of your life, and that is the potential side of you. Those are the things that God has hidden in you. You need to understand that God has hidden stuff in every single one of you. There is something inside of you just waiting to come out. And it's in your small church, it's in that life group that there are people that will encourage you, that will love you, that will challenge you, that will help cultivate you, help create an environment to begin to grow the potential that is inside of you. That's what life groups are about. It's about forming a band of brothers, a band of sisters, a band of married couples, forming that camaraderie so that we can stand by one another, support one another, and grow. I want to show you another video that really, to me, is one of the healthiest versions of a life group. The life groups that at Coastline, we inspire to be healthy, and this is one that I think is a great model of health.
The genesis of the group was really, we tried to reframe a group of men that already knew each other through church and through small group.
I have been in small groups before, and I think the way that this one is different is just, I feel like there's a lot more openness in the group, and we're able to go to that deeper level.
Because it's a men's group, sexual sin is going to be a big part of what we all struggle with.
Like, the key issue for me was pornography.
As a leader, for me, I've taken it upon myself to try to be the guy that takes the first step, showing that it's a safe place. And I think just taking those first initial steps that are hard, that are awkward usually, and then you just start asking questions, you start sharing.
He led by example, signed up for an accountability program and encouraged us all to do the same.
It gave me the resources in the community to put up a fight to that.
Having that openness with that issue from the beginning created openness with any issue any of the guys might be struggling with. So I used to just care about going out, getting drunk, meeting girls. And because of that openness with their own struggles, it was very easy for me to be like, this is where I'm at. Like, I've been living this way for 5, 6, 7 years. And as soon as I was open with that and said it out loud, God just started working on my heart.
God just blessed me with a group of guys who are, you know, willing to just go above and beyond to make sure that another guy in the group is taken care of. It's just more than friendship, but, you know, we're a family because we share that bond in Christ together.
Being open about pride or struggles at work or any other number of issues becomes easy because you've developed this comfort level talking about such a tough issue.
We call each other brother, and we take it very seriously that we are brothers. And, you know, we go away with one another spiritually and watch out for one another.
And the last point I want to talk about this morning is it's a place where everybody knows your name. That's what life group is to be about. See, on Sunday morning, you're not going to be able to memorize every single person's name. It's a challenge for me to remember names. But when I get a part of a life group, and every one of us, I'm going to be a part of a life group. My wife's going to be a part of a life group. Our challenge for you is you haven't tasted Coastline until you've been a part of a life group. That coming on Sunday morning is simply not enough for you. You've got to be a part of a life group. And I'm about to show a video that definitely dates myself. It was my birthday last week, and I'm just, you know, 1 year older. I'm kind of dating myself. But for those of you that have no idea what song is about to be played, don't worry about it. Your grandparents will tell you about it one day. For those of you that know it, just enjoy it with me. Sing it along. But I think this needs to be the theme song of our church, the theme song of life groups here. Go ahead and roll that for me. Everybody together.
Making your way in the world
today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure could help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Everybody out.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name. You wanna go where people know people are all the same. You wanna go knows your name.
You know, that shouldn't be the theme song of a bar. That should be the theme song of a church. That should be the theme song of life groups. Some of you are going to hate me at 9 o'clock tonight when you're still singing that melody and you can't get it out of your head. But that's what it's about. Relationship, fellowship. I know for some of you, this morning was like, this didn't apply, but you know, I'm with you. But there's a lot of people here that really needed to hear that it's not enough to come on Sunday morning. You've got to connect. You've got to have fellowship. You have got to have relationship. 1 John 3:16 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. How do you give up your life for your brothers and sisters? You get in a life group. You do life with them. That's how you give up your life for people. You share your life with them. You give up your time. You give up a piece of your life to get together every single week with a group of brothers or a group of sisters or a group of married couples or a group of whatever. And you get together and you give up your life for your brothers and sisters so that you can share life. You can rejoice with them. You can laugh with them. You can cry with them. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. And if you want to be a part of Coastline, the reality is you won't get the full experience on Sunday morning. When we roll out our fall semester here of life groups, my challenge is that every one of you will find a place to connect. If this morning you're feeling inspired because something clicked in your mind, you're saying, I want to lead a life group. We have life group leadership training going on right now. Next Sunday, directly after church at 12:30, we're going to do a training. If you want to be a life group leader, you want to launch something in the fall semester, join us. We're still looking for people that have passions, gifts, strengths, hobbies that they want to build life groups around. Because we want this to be a place where everybody knows your name, where you have a group of people that love you, a group of people that'll support you, a group of people that'll fight for you. That's what being a part of the body of Christ is. But there's a first step. The first step is to make God number one in your life. See, it's not enough just to have friendships. There's got to be a common purpose and a common cause to the relationship that we're asking you to step into. And that relationship starts, number one, with a relationship with God. Number one, a relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts with the decision that says, I put God first. It's just not enough to live with my friends and encourage one another and be a good person. There's got to be a God factor to my life. Just doing life with other Christians isn't enough if I haven't been touched by God. If God hasn't done something in me that I can't do on my own, then it's just not enough to hang out with the church or hang out with Christians or hang out in a life group. You've got to make the first step, and that's surrendering your life to Jesus. That's saying, I make God number one in my life. God's not just a part of my life, because we all like God to be a part of our life. None of us really want to be without God. Even, you know, even atheists deep down want God to be some factor of their life. But it's not enough for God to be part of your life. God's got to be number one in your life. You've got to build your life around him. You've got to plan your world. Your world needs to orbit around God and what God is doing. That's God's desire for you. Because until you truly make God number one, it's the old saying, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Because you really can't serve God partway. You really can't give God 99%. Because to give God 99% really means you're giving him nothing. Because he wants it all. And he doesn't accept you at 90%. He accepts you at 100%. Doesn't mean you got to be perfect. Doesn't mean you got to have it all together. How many know we're all messed up? We're all going through some phase of our life. I need him just as much as you need him. I got to make him number one in my life just as much as you need to make him number one in my life. We've all checked into the same hospital. Some of us may have just checked in a little bit earlier. But I'm not telling you anything I don't need in my life. We all need God to be number one. So bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we close today.